All right, thank you for that. Welcome back to the show. I'm Rick Tittle on Sports Byline around the world on AFN and streaming online at sportsbyline.com. The most popular sport in the world is soccer, played by the greatest amount of people, and we are now delighted to be joined by the greatest female soccer player in history. It's Mia Hamm. How you doing, Mia?
Hey, good. How are you?
I'm doing fine. It's great to have you on the show. And first things first, I'm a big A's fan. We loved having Nomar out here for a year. Of course, you're husband. I know he's doing a TV gig now, and he retired as a Red Sox. But what can you tell us about his year out here? Both of you guys, your year out here in Oakland. Did you have a good time?
Oh, we did. And, I mean, everyone was so great to us there, the community. You know, the Bay Area is such a beautiful place of the country. And I loved taking the BART every day. I really did. You know, here in L.A., you just don't have that option. But to be able to stroll our two girls in onto the BART and be dropped off right at the stadium at the Coliseum was awesome.
That's amazing that the most famous female soccer player in the world gets on BART, and you probably went anonymous a few times. You weren't swamped, Mia?
Oh, not at all. Not at all.
And you mentioned the twins. Are they kicking a soccer ball, or are they swinging a bat? Are they leaning one way or the other yet?
They'll do a little bit of both, you know. When Nomar's home, he'll set up the tee for them. And, you know, we have one daughter that just loves to perform, so any attention she can get, she's all over it. But it's fun to watch them kind of get out there and just be healthy and have fun and laugh.
Speaking with Mia Hamm, she's here to talk about the Play It Safe program. We'll get to that in just a minute. You know, Mia, you think about your four titles at North Carolina, and then in the middle of all that, you go to China for the World Cup in 91, and at the time I was working for Sports Channel Television, and we showed that World Cup final, and you think about how it's grown since then. We have the World Cup coming up this year in Germany. We know about the big names like Wambach and Prince and Kelly Smith and Marta. Who are some of the players that you can tell people who aren't following women's soccer that might come to the fore?
Well, I think you look at the U.S. team. I mean, I think Hope Solo, she's getting to health, is going to be very important for that team. Alex Morgan, who's from the Bay Area, has been tremendous for the U.S., scored some of the most important goals over the past year for them. You know, she's coming off the bench. She's been huge, and I think she's going to have a tremendous tournament. Gosh, internationally, you know, the thing about Brazil is we know about Marta and Christian, but they bring players that we haven't seen in the last 3 years, and they come on the scene and just light up the field. So I'm excited to see what Brazil has in store for the world. It's like they go into hiding, and then the World Cup happens, and they have three incredible personality players, including their goalkeeper, who could dribble anyone on the field. So we'll see what happens.
And you mentioned Hope Solo. I guess all is forgiven from the time when she was upset about Brianna Scurry getting back in, and that was a lot of hoo-ha at the time, but all is forgiven now?
I guess. You know, I wasn't – I was a spectator. you know, she is. She's important to the success of the team. I think she understands that importance, and you know the great thing about team athletics is that in times when you do make mistakes like that, you have an opportunity to redeem yourself, and you can lean on your teammates. And I think she's done that, and she's responded very well.
Speaking with Mia Hamm, and Mia, I've spent a lot of time in Europe and going to soccer stadium over there, and just in the last 20 some odd years. Soccer has always been embraced in this country for young ladies to play, and other places as well, Scandinavia. But for mainland Europe, I would talk to soccer fans, and they couldn't believe that women would want to play such a tough sport as football. How could they do that? And it was a real stigma for young ladies to play football. It was sort of, turning them masculine. And so we've made a lot of progress over the last 20 years in other countries. We've always been accepting in America and at our universities, and that's why America is so good. But I think Europe especially has made great strides.
No, they have. And you know, a credit to them. And you know, the Federation's really investing in kind of their women's and young girls programs. I think they see the value. I think, you know, more young girls are wanting to play. Their parents are being supportive. And you're seeing the success of it with their European championships, but also, you know, Germany being a two-time defending World Cup champion. And as a federation, you know, the U.S. Soccer Federation, I feel we're learning now from Germany and the investment that they've made and how they're organizing their youth national teams and their development programs over there. Because I know personally, we feel it. We feel we can do better in this country, and we want to do better in this country to make sure that we're giving these young players every resource we can to be the best players they can be.
Now, you've won a couple World Cups. You've got a couple gold medals, and we know that, that the team that you've been on hasn't reached the pinnacle as well. But when you compare your World Cups and your Olympics, it's two different animals, but I'm not going to say which one is better. We know that that final in Athens, that was the most people to ever see a women's soccer game. But when you think about your accomplishments, World Cups and Olympics, how do you put those into comparison?
Well, I, you know, as an American, and who I remember my first experience really kind of watching, I saw the 82 World Cup. I remember watching with my dad, but 86, you know, living in Texas, being able to watch Univision and catch most of the games in Spanish. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I grew up on the Olympics and that Olympic fever and that pride that comes with it every 4 years and the stories of overcoming adversity. So participating in the 96 Olympics was huge for me and my family. But as a soccer player, you look at the World Cup and it's your event. You know, you're not competing for airtime. People are coming to watch your sport. And so that was, like you said, it's an entirely different environment. But I'm extremely proud of both, and both create such amazing and fond memories, not just with the sport and with my teammates, but with my family.
Well, you mentioned your teammates, and these names roll off the tongue, like Akers and Foudy and Lilly and Fawcett, Milbritt, Chastain, you know, the founding fathers, if you like, of soccer. And we got to see that little thing on HBO not that long ago, and I was always kind of touched by how you guys are still close, because a lot of times athletes are brought together and they might stay in touch, but you guys really did form a sisterhood.
We did. I mean, we grew up together, and unfortunately for those girls, they're kind of stuck with me. I mean, you get in that environment, and you really are put in situations which are tough and uncomfortable, and you're failing at practice, whether it's not making a fitness or missing an easy shot or, you know, just not carrying your weight, whether it be physically or psychologically. And I look at it, those girls never gave up on me. And, you know, that means they cared about me more than just on the field. They cared about me as a person and helping me develop that way. And, you know, I'm indebted to them for that forever. And, you know, I want to be a part of their lives. Now we all have kids, and, you know, it's great catching up and getting together. And when we do, it's like we haven't skipped a beat, except we're all a little bit slower and a little more gray hair, unless you're, you know, you're coloring your hair. But it's a great time when we do get together.
I remember seeing you at Spartan Stadium. It was the USA versus England, and you had a goal that had me out of my seat, where you dragged the ball back. You were right on the edge of the box. I mean, you think about 158 goals. No one has scored more international goals, male or female, 275 caps. And yet, the National Soccer Hall of Fame, four people didn't vote for you. You got 137 out of 141. I guess we should keep it into perspective that Babe Ruth didn't get every vote for the Hall of Fame either. Who doesn't want to vote for Mia Hamm? I don't understand that.
I don't know. You know, it. Whatever.
All right. All right. Let's talk a little bit about the Play It Safe Foundation, or program, I should say, by the American Association of Orthodontists. It's about wearing a mouthpiece. I did when I played football. It helped with concussions as well. But it's also useful in other sports, isn't it?
It is. And I just feel so fortunate to be able to team up with them, because I'm all about trying to keep kids on the playing field. And this gives them an opportunity to really educate themselves as well as their parents about the importance of being proactive and wearing a mouth guard and other protective gear, not just in games but at practice. And like you said, to prevent injuries to both their mouth and face. And, you know, it's important for these kids to understand, even investing, you know, $5 in a mouth guard, how it can help you long-term, your long-term health.
And also talking about the Mia Hamm Foundation that you started when your brother Garrett got sick. It's for bone marrow transplants. How can people get in touch with you there?
Well, they can go to miafoundation.org and learn about kind of, we have two major events, fundraising events, but we're always, you know, taking grant applications to see how we can help families who are going through either bone marrow or cord blood transplants. And for me, is the importance of sports, especially in young girls' lives. I mean, I wouldn't be here today without sports. And specifically soccer in my life, it helped me form my identity, helped me build my self-esteem, put me through a great university at UNC, let me meet some of the greatest friends a girl could ever have. So I feel very fortunate and would love to share that experience with young girls.
And finally, you mentioned your time in Texas. You were in a military family. You were moving all over the place. We are on American Forces Radio. Do you have a message for our troops listening?
Well, first and foremost, just thank you for everything you do, the sacrifices that you make every single day for people like me that, you know, to be honest with you, I never take it for granted. And just stay safe and know there are people thinking about you and praying for your safe return.
That's Mia Hamm, a hero not just to little girls playing soccer, but to all Americans. It's not often you get to talk to the greatest of all time. So, Mia, it's a real thrill. Say hi to Nomar for us.
I will. Thank you so much.
Okay, great. Thanks for being on. That's Mia Hamm. Take a quick break. We'll come on back on Sports Byline.